Now I'd invite your attention to our scripture lesson for this morning, which is Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. But just in order to set the context for this passage, I'll just back up briefly into the end of Luke 23. After Jesus had been crucified, a righteous man named Joseph of Arimathea received permission to take the body of Jesus, prepare it for burial, and lay it in a garden tomb. And then the story continues. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath, what we would call Saturday, in obedience to the commandment. And then the story continues in chapter 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified on the third day, and be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words sounded to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. And as we prepare to hear what message God may have for our lives this morning, I invite you to bow with me once again in a word of prayer. God of life, your Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. Your Spirit inspired the prophets and psalmists and other writers of Scripture. Your Spirit draws us to Christ and helps us to acknowledge him as Lord. We ask that you would send that Spirit now to give us deeper insight into your word. Give us encouragement, faith, and hope through the proclamation of the Easter message. We pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. You know, if you're someone who is just a sucker for very sentimental, kind of tearjerker scenes, it would be hard to top a kind of video that has been showing up on YouTube recently. There are these videos that show surprise reunions between a soldier who has been deployed overseas, sometimes for an extended period of time, and loved ones back home. I mean, have you seen some of these videos? There's one, it shows a bride on her wedding day, resplendent in her wedding dress, looking stunningly beautiful, but they tell us the night before she had been crying on her mother's lap because her brother and best friend growing up was on active duty with the Marines and unable to be with her on that special day. And then as we watch, she's being photographed in her wedding dress. Who should appear on the scene suddenly but her brother? He had gotten a last-minute leave and had rushed there to be with her on her wedding day. Obviously, after that tearful reunion, she needed to touch her makeup a little bit. Or then there's 9-year-old Elena throwing out the ceremonial first pitch at a Tampa Bay Rays Boston Red Sox game as she is walking out onto the pitcher's mound. The stadium announcer explains that she has been chosen because her father, Lieutenant Colonel Will Adams, has been serving for most of the past 2 years with the U.S. Army over in Afghanistan. Elena throws the pitch, lands it in the catcher's mitt, and then catcher lifts his mask off, and it's her father. And they, of course, run out to meet one another. He scoops her up in his arms. They have a tearful reunion right there at home plate. You know, even the most cynical, hard-bitten person here would have a hard time watching scenes like that without getting a lump in the throat, maybe even tears in the eyes. But as moving and emotional as those surprise reunions might be, they can't begin to compare with the surprise that awaited the disciples of Jesus on that first Easter Sunday morning. As these women make their way to the garden tomb at daybreak, they expect to be greeted by nothing but the scent of death. That is why they are carrying these spices to anoint the body. They expect to find a tomb that is sealed with a boulder. And that's why in some versions of the story, as they travel to the tomb, they wonder who will roll the stone away. But then, as the story continues, there is just this rapid-fire succession of surprises, one right after the other. They get to the tomb, and the stone has been rolled away. How did that happen? And then they enter the tomb, and the body is missing. Imagine that shock. But then, the greatest surprise, the greatest shock of all is when an angel appears, or a pair of angels, and delivers this utterly shocking piece of news. Jesus isn't here because he's alive. He is risen. It's a turn of events that nothing could have prepared them for. They did not have the slightest inkling that something like that was even remotely conceivable. You know, there might have been a time in your life when someone was preparing a surprise party for you. I mean, did you ever have that experience when people are preparing a surprise party on some special occasion, but the time gets closer and closer, you start developing a little inkling that something is up. You're not sure exactly what it is, but people are starting to act strangely around you. You start noticing these little whispered conversations among people, and you don't know exactly what's going on, but you suspect that something is up. Well, Easter was not like that. These disciples of Jesus didn't have the slightest inkling what was in store for them. They were in the depths of despair at this point. I mean, I don't think they would have been surprised if Jesus had led an uprising there in Jerusalem. I don't think they would have been surprised if somehow he had given his pursuers the slip and managed to escape. I don't even think they would have been surprised totally if he had responded to his taunters and actually come down from the cross. But once Jesus had died, all hope vanished. There was nothing in their theology, nothing in their belief system to prepare them for the prospect of somebody being resurrected before the last day. That was a hope. Resurrection was a hope that was confined to the future. And that is why in his book, Surprised by Hope, New Testament scholar N.T. Wright says, Easter was when Hope, with a capital H, Hope in person, surprised the whole world by coming forward from the future into the present. But there's more to it than that, because you see, the Easter surprise wasn't just limited to the first women to arrive at the garden tomb, or even to the original followers of Jesus. There is more to the Easter surprise than just the discovery of the empty tomb and the announcement of the risen Christ. Because you see, the very next story in Luke's gospel, which we didn't read, but that many of you I know are familiar with, the very next story in Luke's gospel hints at an ongoing surprise. It's a story about a pair of disciples who are on the road to Emmaus later that same day. And suddenly, as they're walking along, a stranger joins them. And they begin telling this stranger about the terrible events they had just experienced in Jerusalem, how this one that they had hoped would redeem Israel had been crucified, and how dejected they feel. This stranger responds by reinterpreting the Old Testament scriptures to make sense out of everything that had just happened. And then they stop for the night, and as they are breaking bread, suddenly they recognize the stranger, and to their amazement and surprise, they realize that this stranger is none other than Jesus himself. You see the point of that story? Do you see what that story is trying to tell us? The Easter surprise isn't just that Jesus is risen. The Easter surprise is that Jesus continues to show up in unexpected places, in unexpected ways. Jesus continues to meet us in the ordinary circumstances of our lives, in the midst of our experiences of despair and brokenness, as we are walking along in our journey through life, as we are sitting around tables sharing meals. Jesus continues to surprise us and to show up in unexpected ways. And you know, as I was thinking about that theme of surprise encounters with the risen Jesus, I couldn't help but be reminded of an Oxford University professor back in the late 1920s. He was someone who had grown up in a nominally Christian family, but by his early adulthood, he had become a staunch atheist. He scoffed at hypocrisy of religious believers. He made fun of what he perceived to be their idiosyncrasies and quirks. He loved to torment Christians by asking them questions that he didn't think could be answered, questions about suffering and evil in the world. But then he gets this appointment to a university faculty, and he discovers, to his surprise, that some of the smartest and brightest people there at the university are, in fact, Christians. As a matter of fact, he forms an unlikely friendship with one of them. And then it's not only Christians who start challenging his atheistic assumptions. He can't believe his ears one evening as he's sitting there with a colleague in front of the fire. This colleague happens to be an historian, and although he is an avowed unbeliever, just like this other gentleman, at one point this unbelieving historian says, "You know, the one thing that I just can't get over is the incredible historical accuracy of the New Testament documents." And he can't believe what he's hearing. He can't believe his ears. Well, it seems like everywhere he turns, he is being confronted with the claims of Christ. This is how he describes what happened next. He says, "You must picture me alone in my room at the college, night after night, whenever my mind lifted even for a second from my work, the steady, unrelenting approach of him whom I desired so earnestly not to meet, that which I greatly feared, at last came upon me. In the Trinity term of 1929, I gave in and admitted that God was God and knelt and prayed, perhaps that night, the most dejected and reluctant convert in all of England." If you didn't recognize the story, that reluctant convert was C.S. Lewis, who turned out to be one of the greatest Christian writers and Christian apologists of the 20th century. God showed up in his life uninvited, unexpected. No wonder when he sat down to write the story of his conversion many years later, he entitled it, "Surprised by Joy." Now, I don't know if we have any atheists in our midst this morning. If we do, we are thrilled to have you here this morning. We hope that you will come back. But it seemed to me that it was entirely conceivable that we might have someone sitting here in this sanctuary this morning who almost feels like they have been running away from God all of their lives. Perhaps you are someone who has little use for organized religion, little use for the church or for Christianity. You might be here this morning just because, well, it's Easter and that's what you do on Easter Sunday. You might be here this morning because someone invited you and you came, you know, in order to just accede to an invitation. But if you're in that position, watch out. Watch out. Because the risen Lord Jesus is on the loose. You never know where he might show up next. Just like C.S. Lewis, you may find yourself surprised by joy. Jesus is always showing up like that in surprising ways, in surprising places, through surprising people. Watch out. You never know when you might be surprised by joy when Jesus invades your life. Interestingly, C.S. Lewis was actually surprised by joy once again towards the end of his life. C.S. Lewis was someone who spent virtually his entire adulthood as a confirmed bachelor. You know, when I was in seminary, there was a term that we used for guys like that. It was BTR, Bachelors Till the Rapture. As a matter of fact, I heard that there were Christian colleges who actually had BTR clubs for guys who had given up hope of ever getting married. Well, if there had been a BTR club at Oxford University, C.S. Lewis would probably have been the president of it. But then, when he was nearly 60 years old, he once again was surprised by joy. Only this time, it was Joy Gresham, this spunky, outspoken American who swept him off his feet and entered into an unlikely marriage with him. And once again, I think that is the perfect image of how the risen Lord Jesus Christ works in our lives, regardless of how settled you are in your routine, regardless of how firm and convinced you are that you have your life all mapped out in front of you. You never know. You never know when you might be surprised by joy. You never know when God might send you off in a totally different direction that you never expected and never anticipated. You may be headed in one direction in life, and all of a sudden, God steps into your life and sends you off in another direction. You may be one of those proverbial empty nesters. You may be nearing retirement age, and you have your future all mapped out in front of you, and suddenly, God breaks into your life and sends you off in a new direction, calls you to a new ministry, calls you to a new adventure in life that you never in your wildest dreams imagined. Jesus, the risen Christ, continues to surprise us in new and different ways. But finally, there is one last dimension to the Easter surprise that we should take note of. In some ways, the Easter surprise is the surprise that really wasn't, or at least the surprise that shouldn't have been. You see, the basic outlines to this story that we just read, the women going to the tomb, the stone rolled away, the announcement that he is not here, he is risen, those features are found in all of the Gospels. But Luke adds something that is unique. There is a feature to Luke's version of the story that isn't found in the other Gospels, because in Luke's version, the angel rebukes the women a little bit, or at least rebukes them gently by telling them that they shouldn't be surprised at this discovery. The angels say to them, "Don't you remember? He was telling you all along how this was going to happen. It just hadn't registered with them." And then in that subsequent story, when Jesus is talking to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, he shows them from their scriptures how God's Messiah had to suffer and die and then rise again. It was there all along, and they just hadn't noticed it. It just hadn't registered with them. And basically, the message of the story is, this is, even though it's a surprise, this is the development that Israel's scriptures have been pointing to all along. Isn't this the kind of God that we have always had? A God who makes all things new. A God who brings life out of death. A God of surprises. This is the God who brought a new creation out of the chaos of Noah's flood. This is the God who created a nation out of slaves in Egypt. This is the God who restored a nation that was hopeless in captivity. The resurrection of Jesus might have been a surprise in one sense, but it's really the ultimate fulfillment of what the story had been about all along. You know, I think the Jesus story, the story of the Bible, is really like a good, well-written detective novel. You know, is there anybody here that enjoys reading mystery novels with a detective? You get to the end and, you know, Hercule Poirot or Miss Marple or Sherlock Holmes or whoever it happens to be fingers the culprit. And at first, it comes as a total surprise, a total shock, because invariably, it is the least likely character. You mean the butler did it with a knife in the library? But then, just as that shock is settling in and the surprise is beginning to wear off, your very next reaction is to say, "Well, of course it was the butler. That wily rascal was always showing up when something was amiss. And, oh, It should have been obvious all along. Of course, that's how it happened. And so suddenly after the initial surprise wears off, suddenly everything makes sense in a new way. And friends, that is the story of the gospel. That is the story of our lives. Our God is a God of surprises. You never know where the risen Lord Jesus is going to show up next or where he is going to lead us. And yet there is something remarkably predictable about God's surprises. You can expect that the risen Lord Jesus is somehow going to show up in your life. Amen.